You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today on this Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day with me here today as we together study the Word of Almighty God. And we are going to hear now the second part of this sermon that just started yesterday. And we are in a series here in church in the book of Philippians. I've taken just a couple of weeks break here as we've been looking at other things these last couple of weeks, as well as this Sunday. We are looking at the mysterious two witnesses the Bible talks about, Revelation chapter 11, that the time is coming when there's going to be two mysterious men God calls witnesses, and they are going to prophesy on earth for 3.5 years. And the Bible says that these have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. That's what we're looking at this Sunday. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church, and this radio program is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. You can join us on Facebook Live as well if you're unable to make it. But if you are looking for a new church, or if you're new to the area, and if you enjoy these radio programs, I invite you to come by, worship with us here sometime. We'd love to meet you. You'll be warmly greeted by our wonderful church family here at Island, and I look forward to meeting you sometime. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is part two. We're in Philippians chapter 1 here on the radio. Let's wrap up this sermon now.
But in your case, God does the performing. And what he performs like a violin is you. He who has begun a good work in you. The performer is him. The instrument is you. It's you. When does he stop it? The day of Jesus Christ. That's the only day that matters to you. That's either the day you say hasta luego and head out of this world, or the day that he cracks into the skies and comes back again. That's when God is going to stop working on you. The day you leave this world or he comes back. Being confident. That is, the man who's been to the third heaven and back, who has the keenest insight into the knowledge and the plan of God that surpasses any human being that's ever lived, said he's confident. He's confident that God's not done with you. He's confident that God's working in you. He's confident God's going to see you through to the end. He's going to play you like a violin. You are chained to righteousness in Jesus' name. Being confident of this very thing, that he who started all of this in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, just as it is right for me, or meet to me, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affections of Jesus Christ. Might be a funny word there if you have a King James Version Bible. It might say, I long for you all with the bowels of Jesus Christ. Ever had a gut feeling about something? The word there, splagnos, speaking Greek, I could tell you, it means your intestines, literally. Figuratively, it means your heart. Like that old saying, you know, I had a gut feeling about that. That's what the word means. That's why the King James, they were faithful to what the word means. The word means intestines or your insides, or that's how they translated it. Most other Bibles there call that, they change that, affections. Now remember, he's in chains. We also see he loved these people, he missed being with them. Now he's going to pray for them, verse 9. This I pray, that your love, let's see what he prays for. That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until, there's a second time now, the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. All right, so Paul prayed for, number one, the Philippians to love more. Notice how they needed help to love more. Like you and I need help to love more. Number two, that the Philippians would approve the things that are excellent. Now, there's a good thing to pray for me about. To get behind and approve the things that are excellent, no matter who thought of them. Sometimes we need help with that. These guys needed help. The apostle prayed for them. I certainly would need help as well. People come by me or with suggestions all the time. I need help from God to know what to approve and what not to. May I approve of the things that are excellent? Number three, that the Philippians would be sincere. Now, sincerity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Sincere, real. Sincere means found pure when unfolded and examined by the sun's light. Number four, he prayed that they would be without offense until the day of Christ. Okay, he coined this phrase, day of Christ. Here it is again. First in verse 6, this day of Christ, I believe, is the rapture near the end of the age. Notice how it is a good day and not a bad day. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he said it twice. Now in chapter 2, verse 16, he says it again. He says, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The day, when you guys read and study your Bible, understand, the day of Christ is not the day of the Lord. There are two different days. The day of Christ is a good day. The day of the Lord is a day of doom and judgment. They're not the same. Now, under verse 12, now he's going to show them that being in jail was a good thing because he was able to tell others about Jesus when he was there. That made it a good thing. You being in a difficult place, God can turn into a good thing. Do I have any witnesses in the house on that? You being in a difficult place, God can turn into a good thing. Be it doctor's office or jail cell. Listen to this verse here. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says this. When Paul and Silas were in jail, in this same town, for casting a demon out of someone. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands or chains were loosed. Then the keeper of the prison ran in, and he ultimately said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" That was the end result of Paul and Silas praying and giving praise to God and singing hymns. They're sitting there chained up, singing, "Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, do remember me." And the prisoners were, you see, the prisoners are watching you do. They're watching you. They're listening to you. There's 7 billion prisoners out here in the world. There's 7.3 billion people. The 0.3 are the ones that are chained to righteousness. The other 7 billion are chained to sin, and they're watching you at work. They're watching you in the doctor's office, Brian. They're watching to see if you're any different than this world, or if you're going to behave the same way as everyone else. They're watching you. They were watching Paul in jail. They're watching Paul here. Remember, this is a prison epistle. He's chained to a guard when he wrote this. A letter filled with joy, the happiest thing he ever wrote. He's chained to a Roman with his other arm when he's writing it with this arm. He says, "I want you to know that the things that happened to me," this is verse 12, "have turned out for the advance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else that my chains are in him." Meaning, he's no prisoner to that nasty Nero. It became evident. Nero, remember, the guy who set Christians on fire, Nero was the emperor at this time. It became evident to everyone that he was a doulos of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul had the insight of Joseph here, didn't he? Remember, we looked at Joseph a month ago, how we heard him say to his brothers, "Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, because God sent me here before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to save your lives by a great deliverance. It was not you who sent me here, but God." That's what Joseph said. Now Paul's saying the same thing. God is the one that did this. Paul reveals to use the same awesome quality concerning God whom we serve. God will take your trials and your difficult circumstances, and he will turn them around for good. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Is that you? If you love God and are called by the name of the Lord, if you've called on the name of the Lord, then that's you. This is a guarantee of you either win or you win in life. That's it. You win or those are your two choices, church. You win or you win. Paul said to depart is far greater than staying here. That is winning. Believe it or not, seeing the face of Jesus today is a personal win for you. It is. Now, verse 15, we're going to see that even though people preach Christ for the wrong reasons or in the wrong motives, be it money, etc., he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Even though people preach Christ for the wrong reasons, he doesn't care. Because The true power of God is in the message of the gospel, not in the evangelist. It's not me. It's the Word. The Word of God is living and sharp, quick, and powerful. The message, the power of God resides in the gospel, not in me. He didn't even care. God can take even your feeble effort and save people. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was saved by a scripture verse tagged onto the end of a sermon out of a Hillary Clinton book, It Takes a Village. The pastor got up and read some of a chapter from a Hillary Clinton book. Then at the very end of his sermon, he said, oh, by the way, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever blessed, that's me! I've never looked back 25 years. Sorry about that. I never looked back 25 years later. 25 years later, I've never looked back. I've never looked back. Hillary Clinton, Schminton, whatever you... He tacked on the end of that verse this truth, and this truth was loaded dynamite. And he set it on fire and set me on fire, and I've never looked back 25 years later. It wasn't him in a bad sermon. It's the power of the Word of God. That's what it was. And that's what it is here. So we sit under the words, the Word that changes you. I or him, we just preach it. God does the transforming. So that's why he says, verse 15, some preach Christ out of envy. Envy. They just want what you have. They don't care about people. Strife. I'm just going to preach this verse to these Pentecostals because I know I'm going to rile them up. Some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chain. That is to make it worse for me here in this jail. The latter out of love. Knowing I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense, that is, whether it's just a show, or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope. That in nothing I will be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now Christ may be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Notice the word is in italics, if you got a good Bible. Meaning the translators added the word is. So that should read, to live, Christ, to die, gain. May you and I have the same trust and attitude today. To live, Christ, and to die, it's nothing but gain. May we live for Jesus today, or better yet, he wants to live through us. He wants to live through you. Whether at the radio station, the food pantry, the school, whether you're a student, a teacher, a crossing guard like my wife is, to live is Christ. The opposite is to live is me, myself, and I. Again, serving yourself. Church, I've tried that and it didn't turn out well. And I bet you have too. And that is because the Bible says that in me dwelleth no good thing. You can either live and strive for your own benefit and your own personal advancement in this life, which will only end in disappointment, or you can live and strive for him. Let me help you with your diagnosis this morning. You see, your desire maker on the inside of you is flawed. It's flawed. I'm sorry to tell you. Jesus gives us the secret for successful living. This is how you fix that. Your desire maker, the things you want and desire on the inside of you, it's flawed. But Jesus says this, Mark, Matthew 6:33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." See, you and I need to let him live through us. Paul told the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." So to live is Christ, to die is gain. Astounding for him to say that, even after the thrill of living, finding Christ, writing half of the New Testament like Paul did, serving the Lord, doing good works, turning this upside down world right side up. Even after the thrill of all that, he can still say to die is better than any of that. To die is gain for the Christian. To die is a plus. 1 Corinthians 2:9 said, "As it is written, eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men, that which God has prepared for those who love him." To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I leave you with this today. We could ask, when you die, will you gain it all or will you lose it all? That's what I want to leave you with this morning. When you die, whether it's today or whatever day, will you gain it all or will you lose it all? Now, the good news is you've got the power to change that. You've got the power to change that right here this morning. To live is Christ and to die is gain. You've got the power to change your eternal destiny here today. All you have to do is what the Bible says. Whoever confesses, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, whoever confesses that Jesus is Lord will be saved. That's all you need to do. With the heart, the Bible says, with the heart one believes. And I bet you that word there is intestines. Gut feeling. You've got it on the inside of you. With the heart one believes unto. Remember how we started this sermon? With the heart one believes unto righteousness. That means for all of you who believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Son of God, God is going to get out the biggest gavel you've ever seen. And he's going to take this. You ever been to the fair when you hit that doing and thing goes up and then they give you a stuffed rabbit? Can you imagine what God can do on his? He's going to slam down that gavel. Ding, he's going to send that bell all the way to where the Voyager is circling up there around Pluto somewhere. That's what he's going to do with your bell when you call on the name of the Lord. That's all you got to do. He's done the work. Because the wages of sin is death. He did the work by taking your place and dying for you. Now, all you got to do is with the heart one believes. With the mouth, confession is made. Homologeo means speak the same thing. With the mouth, confession is made. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. That's all you have to do to change your eternal destiny. That's why Paul was worried about the gospel being corrupted. He called it the simplicity that is in Christ. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to burn one calorie. What you need to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you in the house today. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the easy to understand gospel that you've given us the faith that comes from you. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he's your son. We call on his name here to be saved, Lord. We believe in our heart. We profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I pray now for my church family and those here watching on the internet. Minister to them. Bless those that are going to hear this on the radio. We pray right now. Our church family prays together that you would bless everyone that's going to hear this at a later time. Move in their hearts. Lead them to believe and to receive in the Son of God here today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life. Twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life. Smile, 'cause it's been a while, it's been like a